your singing. I've been personally blessed by it. And as I look through that hymnal that's been prepared for the conference, I was thrilled to see so many hymns that exalted our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think those who drew those hymns together are certainly to be commended. What would happen, brethren, if following this conference we went back to our respective assemblies deeply touched and greatly moved by the truth contained in the very last verse of our fourth chapter of the Ephesian Epistle, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What would happen if 200 to 300 men returned to their assemblies, appreciating the fact that God had forgiven them? You remember it was Joshua, only had 300 men, and yet he put the Midianites to rout. You remember that occasion? I stood by faith with him last evening. I saw him as he brought those men together and made that square with its open side. I saw those men with varied gifts and abilities, now with one common purpose, because they were taking their direction and leadership from God and His servant. They stood together, men with pitchers. They stood together, men with pitchers in which the lamp had been placed, the light had been placed. They stood with their swords, all with great lessons to teach us. Emptied men, ready to let the light shine. Men ready to sound the trumpet. Men prepared to be used by God and for God. And I ask the question, what would happen if you and I went back to our respective assemblies and were able by God to be used for Him, having a full and deep appreciation of the fact that we have been forgiven? It's really just those last few words that are on my heart. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Brethren, I'm confident there would be a change in our conduct, as we have it mentioned in verse 22. We would indeed put off the former things, the former conduct. And it would be God, His Son, His Spirit, His Word, and His people that would occupy us. Yes, forgiven men would appreciate a conduct change. Then too, I think we would return home appreciating our forgiveness with a deeper desire to contribute to the upbuilding of the assembly of God's people. Not only to its upbuilding, but to the outreach of the body. Anxious to use whatever gift or gifts the risen head might have given us individually. And anxious to encourage those in the fellowship to use theirs for the glory of Christ. How wonderful to be so employed. To be anxious to use the gifts of which we have learned. for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body. And that's the objective of the exercise, is it not? We would return home, yes, forgiven, but as well with a change relative to our concerns. What are the major concerns in my life? Family? Good. God bless you. May you have the delight of seeing each one reached for Christ. Is it the job? Is it the assembly? Is it the individual believers? Is it a desire to see the lost reached and won for Christ? Yes. We'd have a change in our concerns, I believe, if we appreciate the fact that we are forgiven. Then will we have a desire born of the Spirit to see others forgiven as well? Well, might the poet say, oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Oh, for a prayer power that prevails, that pours itself out for the lost. Victorious prayer in the conqueror's name. Oh, for a Pentecost. Brethren, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, each one of us. How thrilling. How wonderful. And so beautifully does the apostle conclude this chapter by saying, if that's the case, you've been forgiven. Now manifest those things that are indicative of forgiveness. Even God. For Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The source of forgiveness is our God. Oh, that I would appreciate it this afternoon, that the Almighty, my great God, forgave me my sin and started me on the way to glory. I'm excited when I think about God and His gifts to men. I'm excited when I think of the God of creation, the one who brought it all into being, the one who spake and it was done, commanded and it stood fast. This God who flung the stars from His fingertips. This God who weighs the mountains in the scales. This God who puts the hills in a balance. This God is my God. This is our great God. This is the God who views the nations as the drop of a bucket. We're concerned about international powers, but not our God. He sees the bucket pulled from the well. He sees a drop as it drops off the lower edge. He says that drop of a bucket is like the nations of the world. Oh, the greatness of our God. He looks at the nations as the small dust on the balance. And before the item is weighed, He blows it off. The nation of the world. Beloved, this is our God. This is the God of greatness and grandeur. He is the God of the rainbow circle throne, who occupies the throne of the universe. And I get excited when I think about Him. And I get excited when I realize He's the God of forgiveness. I'm thankful centuries ago He forgave an erring king. I'm thankful when He was here on earth as God the Son, He forgave a sinning woman. I'm thankful that when He looked at a poor palsied man, He forgave him. But, oh, beloved brethren, I will be thrilled throughout all of eternity when I realize He forgave me. He forgave you. You, dear brother. And in this we can rejoice this afternoon. We have forgiveness. He has forgiven us. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, says Paul, as he writes in this beautiful epistle and chapter. And the channel of His forgiveness is none other than His own beloved Son. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We talked about the cost of the body. But, oh, beloved, when I realize He died for the body, that vast, innumerable company of people, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands that will sing His everlasting praise. Yes, He died for them. But I join with the apostle to say this afternoon, the Son of God loved me, gave Himself for me. For Christ's sake, He hath forgiven you. Kenneth Wiest, in his very excellent commentary on this epistle, renders the verse this way. As God in Christ forgave you, God in Christ forgave us. When did He do it? How did He do it? He did it atop old Skull Hill on a cross whereon the Lord of glory hung. God in Christ forgave you. What a cause. Well might the same apostle write to young Timothy and he says, Timothy, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Think of it, beloved. Out of love for your soul and mine, that He might work out His own great plan of everlasting forgiveness, God was one day clothed in a human body, held with all the constraints of a virgin's womb, to be born a man, to live among men, to experience, to see their sin and their hate. God was there, the Almighty. And ultimately, beloved, He went to the cross of Calvary, working out the means of eternal forgiveness on the cross at Calvary. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, reconciling the likes of you and me. A simple truth, a basic truth, but brethren, may we never lose the thrill of knowing God forgave me. In all of my sin, He forgave me, He pardoned me, He prepared me for glory. The penalty of sin has been paid, and you and I have been forgiven. The just demands of the holy law have been fully and completely satisfied. You and I are forgiven. The offending party, God has treated now most graciously and extended to the likes of you and me. In all of our sin, the glorious and thrilling fact that sin can be forever forgiven. Paul said, God, for Christ's sake, I'm forgiven you. Let me read the verse again. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I missed one word. Even God. Even God. Think of the one who is inflexibly holy. Think of that one who is the object of the praise of the angelic choirs. And they circle his throne, singing as they do, Thou art holy, 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 is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this Holy One, even this Holy God, he forgave the likes of you and of me, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. How rich he was. And yet, those riches have been made ours through faith in him, because God in his grace and in his mercy has forgiven us. He, even God, through Christ, hath forgiven you. We knew it before we came. But brethren, may we walk with a step that's lighter as we leave, realizing that I am part of the body of Christ, and God has forgiven me, even God. Subject of his forgiveness, you. Take a good long look in the mirror tonight, dear brother. Realize that the image that is there, the image of the one who looks in it, in that mirror, is the one that God has forgiven. And then go to your knees and thank him from the depths of your redeemed soul. God has forgiven you. How personal, how precious to know that such is a glorious fact. John, as he wrote his epistle, 2 chapter, 1 epistle, verse 12, he could say, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Brethren, we're forgiven this afternoon. We're on our way to glory. God hath forgiven you. May the preciousness of this glorious truth, may the personal thrill that he has forgiven me, as he has forgiven you, impact upon my life to the point where this life is sold out for him, seeking to live for him, love him and serve him, seeking to please him, to honor him, and to be a blessing to his people, that he might have all the glory of which he is so rightly deserving. May an appreciation of the fact that God has forgiven us as members of the body of our beloved Lord, may we utilize these God-given gifts which we've considered today. And as we utilize them, may we have the joy and the thrill of seeing God working in our assembly, the saints being edified and encouraged, and the lost that come among us, or that we reach by means of our outreach programs, coming into life, living vital contact with a God who forgives. God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. The poet said, not far from New York, in a cemetery lane, close guarding a grave, stands a simple headstone, and all its inscription is one word alone, forgiven. No sculptor's fine art hath embellished its form, yet constantly there through the calm and the storm, it breathes forth this word from a poor fallen worm, forgiven. It shows not the date of the silent one's birth, reveals not his frailties, nor lies of his worth. It speaks out its tale from a few feet of earth, forgiven. The death is unmentioned. The name is untold. Beneath lies the body corrupted and cold. Above rests the spirit at home in the fold. Forgiven. When from the heaven the Lord shall descend, this stranger shall rise and from glory ascend, well known and befriended to sing without end. Forgiven. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Praise God that such is the case.